God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. So we do record our messages. They go up on the church's Facebook page and also the church's website. Not quite sure what the number is right now. It's probably about 520. It's over 500. Top button. Ooh. Praise God. The verse on the very front is also the same one we're going to do, but we're going to do it in a slightly different version. So the version that's on the front of the bulletin is the one that's been the song, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." New King James says, "For you are my praise." We can go before the Lord with our need, whatever that need happens to be. When we say, "Heal me, Lord," I don't know about you, but I don't just need healing in my physical body. And I do need healing in my physical body, don't get me wrong. I have a pinched nerve in my leg that has been there for years. And it gets where I can't stand still. And I can't stand in certain places. That's why I'm up here moving around almost all the time, is I cannot stand still. Or I get to the point where it feels like someone is ripping my thigh open with a pair of claws. Why once in a great while I'll even do the whole message sitting down on a chair. I have issues in my physical body. On the other hand, they say, you know, once you hit your 50s, the check engine light comes on. I passed my 50s a long time ago. The fact that I can walk at all is a list of miracles from the Lord. Because once, when I was young and real stupid, I dove from the supports of a 100-foot bridge, underneath the bridge, dove into the water doing a wonderful swan dive, and tucked too soon and landed flat on my back. And I couldn't move, and they had to pull me out of the water. I've been hit with a forklift in this leg. It chipped the bone and cut straight back. And the doctor said, "You will never walk normally again. And it will be months before you can hobble." But within a month, I was walking around town carrying my crutches. Because the rules of workman's comp says you do exactly what the doctor says. The doctor says you don't go anywhere without your crutches. He never once said to use them. I carried my crutches and walked around town. I've been hitting the ankle with a hubcap back in the days where 70 miles an hour was the speed limit before 55 got instituted. We were broke down on the side of the road. I was a child. I don't remember how old I was. And a hubcap came off a car. And it came, I saw it coming, and it hit me right square in the ankle. Another time I was hit in that same ankle, but on the side. We were fishing from a bridge in Florida, and a couple of kids driving their car come speeding down the road, and one of them threw a soda can, full soda can, hit me right in that ankle and dropped me. I should not be able to walk, but I can. God is the one who works in my life. Even when I wasn't serving Him, so many other things that happened. I say I shouldn't walk, I shouldn't be alive, but that's a whole nother list. We won't go down that one. When we claim, "Heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed," it is a statement of faith that, "God, if you do it, it's done and completed, and I don't have to worry about it anymore." But we don't just need physical healing. We need our heart healed in so many different areas. We need to be healed from bitterness. We need to be healed from anger. We need to learn how to forgive. We need to do so many things that it takes God working in our lives to work it out. And we as we go looking at our own lives, sometimes I'm like, why would I even bring that up to God? But God knows what things we need. And God knows the state of our heart. Let's take a look at Psalm 6, beginning with verse 1. It's a psalm of David when he was in grief, when he was in anguish, when there was trouble all around him. Yep, that's Jeremiah 17:14. Yep, next one. Yep. I read it off the bulletin. I didn't read it off the screen. Psalm 6, beginning with verse 1, says, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger. Do not chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. Can any of us claim to the Lord, Lord, I'm weak? Lord, I mess up. Lord, I've got failures and shortcomings. As Richard would say, Richard Johnson, who was here a couple of weeks ago, he said, was that last week? The days run together. One of the issues with being retired is I don't know what day it is. As Richard was saying, that it's the trespasses and transgressions. Lord, I have so many of those in my life. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. What does it mean that my bones are troubled? It means things are going on, are just weighing on me to the point I don't even know how to act. I don't know how to do what I need to do. Lord, there just seems to be pressure on every side, turmoil on every side, and I don't know where to turn, and I'm turning to you. Verse 3, my soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Lord, how long am I going to go through this? How long is it going to be like this? Return, O Lord, and deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of you. Lord, I can only praise you while I live. I can only be a witness to people around me while I live. I can only share my testimony with my neighbor while I live. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? He says, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed to swim. I'm crying my eyes out, Lord, this anguish, this pain, this torment going on in me. I need you, your touch. I drench my couch with tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of my enemies. Because everywhere I look, there's turmoil all around me. So this is what David has cried out in this psalm in verses 1 through 7. Two verses later, though, he has this to say. Psalm 6, verse 9. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. David doesn't say, all of a sudden God jumped in and everything's great in two verses. He says, as I've cried my heart out to God, as I've made my complaint, as I've shared with God that I need His touch, I know God heard me. I know God will receive my prayer. That relationship of knowing that even though I don't see the answer, even though I don't know how this is going to work out, but I know who is working it out, is what gets us through the torment, gets us through the pain, gets us through the difficulties, as we wait for the touch of the Lord, knowing that God is at work. Knowing that whether I live or I die, I belong to the Lord. Knowing that no matter what happens in my life, I belong to the Lord. And if he chooses to keep me here, just as David says, I can praise you while I'm here. Once I'm dead, I can't. He said, in the grave, there is no remembrance of you. In death, there's no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? That was verse 5. But that also means that, hey, while we're here, guess what? If we told God that we couldn't praise him when we're dead, we sure ought to be praising him when we're alive. We sure ought to be thanking him, knowing that everything we have is a gift from God. And that even the difficult things that come up, I was listening to a preacher this morning, and he goes on that verse, which we also talk about, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want to know how to be in the will of God? Give thanks. Pray without ceasing. Continue to approach the throne of God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go down to Psalm 30, beginning with verse 1. Another psalm of David. Remember the first in Psalm 6, David is saying, heal me, O Lord, my bones ache, my soul is crying out to you. My soul is greatly troubled. Go down to Psalm 30. Says, I will extol you, or I will praise you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. David giving testimony. What has God done in our lives that we can give testimony of? An old song. I can't even think of the name of it. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. Anybody remember that one? Trusting. What has God done? God has taken care of us. If you are breathing air right now, God has brought you this far. We can declare with the prophet Ebenezer, this far the Lord has been with me. God has brought me to this place. And if God has brought me to this place, he who began the good work is faithful to complete it. He's going to continue leading me on until he's done with me. Once he's done with me on this earth, praise God, absent from the body is present with the Lord. Because of the relationship we have, because of what Jesus did, because of my acceptance of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and recognizing that I can't get myself to heaven, but Jesus made the way. Jesus gave us the free gift that all we must do is believe and accept. Say, Lord, forgive me. Isaiah 53, verse 10. I talk about it all the time. When you claim his soul as a sacrifice for sin, he that is the Father looks down and sees him, that is Jesus, standing in our stead, and is satisfied. And imputes to us the righteousness of Jesus. Praise God. I don't have to stand before God in the little measly good works I can come up with. Because even if we were doing a scale, you know, my good outweighs your bad. Nope. And I don't know about you. I remember Rich, who puts the messages up online for us. He used to lead praise and worship here for us for a number of years. I remember hearing, actually more than once, hearing the message that he had preached. And I'm listening to it. And it's like, he was, praise God that he did not have a testimony like I did. Because he was a teenager when he came to the Lord and went through college and all of that and was a faithful Christian all through that. He had been following the Lord the whole time. And he was thankful of that. I don't have that testimony. I have the testimony that God calls the wicked out of darkness. God calls the prodigal home. God loves us so much, he wants to spend time with us. That's the testimony I have. And that's a testimony that a lot of people have. But God uses all of us, no matter what path we've walked. He's at work in us to be lights in this generation, because there's people that will need your testimony. There's people that will need my testimony. There's people that will need to see the example of what God can do. So back to Psalm 30. Verse 2 says, O Lord my God, I cried out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. God is at work. Wherever we are, whatever we're going through in our lives right now, while we're still breathing air, God is still at work. While we're still going through whatever it is we're going through, God is still at work. He has not yet given up, and He won't give up on us. 2 Samuel 22, beginning with verse 4. Again, guess who? David. Says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Think about that statement of faith. I'm going to call upon God and He's going to take care of this. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I know when I put my faith and trust in God, He will take care of my situation. Whatever it means, whatever that looks like. I don't know about you, but my testimony is it often doesn't look like what I'd hoped it would. But through the end of it, I see that God was at work in the middle of it. Verse 5, when the waves of death surrounded me, and the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol, or hell, surrounded me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God, and He heard my voice from His temple, and my cry entered into His ears. The Bible tells us, and I keep forgetting where it is, it's in Micah, I believe. It's in Micah or Malachi. It's in one of the M books at the end of the Old Testament. But it says, then those who trusted in the Lord, meditated upon His name, and God wrote it in the book. God's taking notes as we meditate on His name. God's taking notes when we talk one another about the great things of God. God is writing it down. This book of remembrance. God is paying attention. He's not surprised by anything that comes up in our life. David said, all of my days are written in your book before ever any of them was. Before I ever breathed the breath, you knew my whole life, what it was going to look like, and it was all written down. It was all in your plan. It was all in your purpose. Back in the Garden of Eden, after the sin, God said to the serpent that the seed of the woman will bruise your heel. You will bruise his head and he will bruise your heel. Gave a messianic prophecy, a prophecy of the Messiah in the Garden of Eden. In the fullness of time, Christ died for the ungodly. We may not understand what the path looks like, but we serve the God who knows the end from the beginning and is at work. Take a little slight tangent here. We're going to go off a little slightly another direction for a minute. Let's go to Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 6, If you'll remember, it starts with, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he goes on to, Isaiah goes on to describe the throne room of God and the seraphim that were there around ministering to him. And Isaiah says, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips and dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King of glory. And an angel flew and went with tongs to the altar, and he took off a coal and took it to Isaiah and touched his lips and says, see now, this has touched your lips, and your sin is purged and you are clean. Then God said, who will go for us, and whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We all familiar with that passage? Any of you remember what comes after that? We're about to read it. But we all remember that passage. I saw the Lord. I said, I'm a man of unclean lips. God's, his angel came and purified my tongue. And he said, who will go? And he said, Isaiah said, I'll go. And we all stop right there, don't we? Like, that's a pretty amazing thing. That builds us up. But here is what God told him to say. Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. We look at the darkness going on in the world around us and how people just can't wrap their minds around the things of God. Well, Corinthians tells us why. They have a carnal mind. Mind thinking just on natural, normal things. And then that a mind thinking natural and normal things cannot understand the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. We need God to open our mind, our hearts, our understanding. And the Holy Spirit does that for us. But the people round about us, the people we encounter, are trapped, are lost, and don't even know it. We are called to be lights. Isaiah was sent to say, keep seeing and don't perceive. Keep hearing and don't understand. But to us, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go make disciples. Go let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We are in this day and age. We are in this dispensation and are called to work to show the things of God to the people around us. We're not saved by our works, but our works demonstrate that God has made changes in us. But when we're told to pray for everyone, when we're called to be like Jesus, Jesus at one point looked over Jerusalem and he wept because they were like sheep having no shepherd. They were lost and trapped and didn't even know it. Do we have the compassion to the people around us? Knowing that as we cry out to the Lord, He hears us. Knowing that as we cry out to the Lord for healing, He heals us. He heals our hearts. He heals our bodies. He heals our circumstances. But He's called us to be the lights to the people around us that so desperately need it. Last passage of Scripture. 1 Samuel 1. Setting up 1 Samuel 1, this is the mother of Samuel. This is Hannah. And Hannah was barren. And as often happened in that culture, there was another wife. You had the favored wife who was barren, and then you had another wife who had kids, who provided an heir for the family and all of that, but the The husband loved Hannah. He says, why do you grieve? Aren't I more valued to you than a bunch of kids? But Hannah's heart was broken. And Hannah's in the temple, and she's praying. Her heart is broken. She's actually not in the temple because there's no temple yet. She's in the tabernacle. She's there before, and she's praying. And the grief in her heart, there was even no words coming out of her mouth, but her lips were moving. And the priest walked by and he saw her. This woman sitting there, just her mouth moving. And he accused her of being drunk. Here's her response. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. And so the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Sometimes the people we need, the people around us, need an encouraging word. We can stand in our faith. We can, you know, declare like David, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so will I be saved from my enemies. God's going to take care of me. We can say that only because we've learned it, only because we've experienced it, only because we can say this far the Lord has been with me. But people around us may not have that faith, may not have that assurance. Or maybe just the battle they're in the middle of is so overwhelming they can't see an end to it. Hannah cried out to the Lord, poured out her complaint to the Lord. And Eli, the priest, came by and said, go in peace. And the God of Israel grant your petition which you've asked him. And it boosted her faith. He came in agreement with what she was praying, even though he didn't know what it was. She said, I poured out my complaint. She didn't say what her complaint was. But somebody came along and says, God heard you. God's going to take care of you. And that was enough. She went her way. She was no longer sorrowful. She went her way. She dried her eyes and she went on in faith because somebody came alongside and said, I know who God is and I know he hasn't forgotten you. I know he heals and I know he works in people's lives. We cry out, God, heal me. And he answers our prayers. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that you do know our end from our beginning. We thank you, Father, that you do cause all things to work together for good to them who love you, to them who are the called according to your purpose. We thank you, Father, that you write in a book every time we meditate upon your name. And Lord, as we stand in faith, as we stand, Father, trusting you, help us, Lord, to be that encourager to the people around us, to share our faith with them, not just our beliefs with them, but coming alongside them in the knowledge that you are the one who hears and answers, that you are the one who is faithful, and that you are the one, Father, who has us engraved in the palm of your hands. Help us, Lord, to be lights to the people around us, that they might come to know you and draw closer to you. We give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcdt.org.